Annenberg Radio News.
Unfortunately, there is negativity around their communities, but here's one place where there's something positive going on.
Kids of all ages at a local Boys and Girls Club are making their mark in record proportions. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Tuesday, April 5th, 2011. I'm Sarah Erickson. The reward for information leading to the arrests of two men who assaulted a San Francisco Giants fan is now up to $100,000. Today, the LA County Board of Supervisors approved a $10,000 reward, and the City Council voted to put in $50,000. Brian Stowe was attacked in the Dodger Stadium parking lot after the season opener. Stowe has been in critical condition since the assault. Trenise Ferreira reports with the latest from his doctors.
Brian Stowe has been in a coma since he was brutally attacked outside of Dodger Stadium on March 31st. He suffered a brain injury as well as a fractured skull. Doctors had to remove part of his skull to reduce the swelling. Stowe's neurosurgeon, Dr. Gabriel Zada, gave an update on Stowe's condition today at the LAC-USC Medical Center.
And he required a life-saving operation to decompress the brain and reduce the pressures, which was successful in doing so. However, since that time, he has remained in a comatose state. And our medical team has done and is doing everything to ensure that the most optimal outcome that is possible is achieved.
Stowe's cousin, John Stowe, was also at the news conference. He said the family does not hold this violent act against the people of Los Angeles. Instead, he thanks the community for its support in this difficult time.
To know that people who have never met Brian could care so much about him and his well-being has truly been overwhelming.
He also said that he hopes the men behind this attack will fess up to what they have done.
I hope somehow deep in their heart, or their friends, or whoever it is that knows who did this, that they would at least have the courage to come forward now and face what they've done. It's bad enough that they hit them. At least come forward, have the courage to face the facts and face the book for what you've done here.
Dr. Zada said that by next week, they will have a better idea of Stowe's prognosis, but for now, it is too early to tell. Zada also said the recovery will be very intensive and that it is possible that there will be some brain dysfunction going forward. Trinice Ferreira, Annenberg Radio News.
The Los Angeles Police Department is releasing new details connected to the Grim Sleeper at a news conference right now. Lonnie Franklin Jr. is accused of killing 10 South Los Angeles women. The police say there may be 8 more. Our reporter is at the news conference. We will get a live update later in the newscast. The Los Angeles Department of Water and Power announced a 3-year plan today that will slash $440 million from its overall budget. Reporter Liz Warden attended the press conference and has more.
The proposal focuses on cutting operating costs, such as imposing a hiring freeze while keeping in mind DWP's future priorities. DWP General Manager Ron Nicholas said he looked at every part of the budget where he could legally make cuts. He emphasized that services will not be affected by this proposal.
We have an obligation to serve every single customer of water and power that's tied to our system.
Nicholas plans to cut 9% of DWP's $4 billion budget. No employees will be laid off. Instead, DWP will not fill an estimated 500 positions that will open because of retirements. It will only fill positions based on critical need.
We have a number of people, you know, that have reached retirement age and are walking out the door every day. All you have to do is come down in our lobby and you see the pictures of the people have 30 years, 40 years going on a go-forward basis.
Nicholas did not have to get approval from the union that represents DWP workers, but he did consult with the union's business manager. Other labor costs that will be cut include office purchases like computers. DWP also rejected proposals for property expansion and plans to restructure existing debt and finances. As tough as the cuts are, Mayor Villagrosa said they have to be done.
Now, I've said many times that a budget is a statement of priority, and in this era of penny pinching and tightening, a budget is also a plan to stay out of the red.
Two-thirds of DWP's budget go toward purchasing water and power, and federal and state mandates it must comply with.
There's only about a third of our total cost that we have any range of reasonable near-term control over.
DWP will hold community workshops to discuss what flexibility the department has on deciding funding of its energy programs in the future. Liz Warden reporting, Annenberg Radio News.
The LA County Board of Supervisors voted today to certify results of Bell's March 8th election. Five Bell City Council members are set to be sworn in within 2 days. They will inject new blood into the city's administration that has been plagued by scandal. They face a number of hurdles ahead, including a budget deficit of more than $3.5 million. And fog with a chance of drizzle. Tonight, lows in the 50s. Tomorrow, highs in the 60s with partial afternoon clearing. And on Thursday, more clouds with a 20% chance of rain. Later on Annenberg Radio News, we talk with Councilmember Bernard Parks about what California's budget problems mean for South LA. The Challengers Boys and Girls Club in South LA helps provide a positive environment to kids and tries to keep them active. But the club recently added another achievement to their record. Mark Shore has the story. Sorry for the technical difficulties. Japan is still trying to recover from the deadly earthquake last month. And now a new threat recently found in Japan may be at the dinner table. Candace Winters has the story.
Fishing has been banned in the Japanese waters surrounding the nuclear plant hit by the earthquake on March 11th. But fishermen are still out making catches, only to find they have no buyers because the Japanese public feels even more threatened by radiation. Officials at the Fukushima nuclear plant said today they found radioactive iodine at 7.5 million times the legal limit in a seawater sample. The Tokyo Electric Power Company doesn't know where precisely the leak is, but they believe it may be from a faulty joint. In that case, radioactive water may be seeping into the ground. The irradiated water has made its way into the ocean. Kyle McMillan is a nuclear engineer at UCLA.
If they can't fix the leaks, that all of this stuff will continue to build up over and over and over again. And it's kind of one of these long-term problems where the radioactivity will clear, it will dissipate, it will dilute in the ocean, it always will. There's just way too much ocean for it to remain at heavy concentrations. The problem is that the more that gets into the ocean, the longer it's going to take
right
that
as you
stuff
hit
to dilute.
Street.
But this has led to another problem. Officials have detected over twice the normal amount of iodine in fish caught off the coast of northern Japan. The Japanese government has placed a standard limit to the amount of iodine in the fish, which is comparable to the level allowed in vegetables. Candace Winters, Annenberg Radio News.
In response to the battle over the long-term national budget today, we decided to talk to a local LA representative about the city's budget outlook. Councilmember Bernard C. Parks of Los Angeles District 8 spoke with me earlier. What is the current budget outlook for Los Angeles, and how does that affect citizens of District 8?
Well, first of all, the budget for the city of Los Angeles is in probably the same situation as the state and the federal budget, it's just that we probably have a little less zeros than they have. But when you find that your expenditures go beyond what your revenue, and then when you look at your revenue and it's dropping because of the overall decline of the economy, it makes it for a very tough budget year. In this year's budget, we had to cut about $100 to $30-40 million during this fiscal year because of the shortfall in revenue. And already we're looking at, for next fiscal year, probably about $350 to $400 million shortfall when we look at the revenue. And one added feature in the revenue source is that we have yet to determine what is going to be the impact on the tragedy in Japan because of the positive impact of the Japanese economy, whether they're investing, traveling, or staying or tourism in our city. So I would think we're going to be in for another long couple of 2 to 3 years and before the economy begins to turn around. What it means for the city and specifically 8th District residents, services that they've become accustomed to, like sidewalk repair, tree trimmings, street repair, things of that nature are going to be slowed to even stopped.
In light of recent events, do you see Governor Brown's budget proposal going through, and particularly in regards to his proposed tax extension?
What we have seen is that the state government, more so than anyone else, has been very reluctant to rein in their costs because their answer generally is to take money from the municipalities to fill their budget needs. The federal government prints more money to fill their budget needs. The only entity that has to have a balanced, a true balanced budget is at the local municipalities. And so I just don't know if the public can afford to extend the tax hikes, particularly when the people you're talking to are the ones that's most impacted by the economic downturn.
Do you expect that reforming the public employee pension system could alleviate some of the pressures on local budgets?
It's over time. You cannot expect an immediate return on that change because by law and by court decision, you cannot alter a existing employee's pension unless they agree to it and they get a like benefit. You cannot alter a person's pension who's already on pension and change that. So the only impact you make is on employees that are new, which means that you won't see the benefit of those changes until you start hiring.
Is it possible that changes in the medical plan will take place in coming years to alleviate such deficit problems?
I think we've seen recently the EAA pension or EAA union came up with a higher gave up a higher percent on their medical plan. The most recent negotiation with the coalition, they're talking about increasing not only their contribution to the medical plan, but also a small percentage towards their retiree medical plan. So these are things that will be negotiated. It's all up in the air as to whether they get these concessions or whether they unilaterally implement them. That will tell the story down the road.
That was LA City Councilmember Bernard C. Parks. We now have Mark Shore's story about the Challenger Club.
Right as you hit 50th Street, an oasis of sorts rises out of the concrete, and the image of two hands joined together is the only thing you see on its walls. The Challengers Boys and Girls Club has been working for the past 42 years to help kids of all ages in the community. Corey Danzler is the president and CEO of Challengers.
And I think what it's done for our community is show that, you know, unfortunately there is negativity around their communities, but here's one place where there's something positive going on. You can come down here to Challengers any day of the week and see positive activities and kids enjoying themselves.
On this day, about 100 kids met on the athletic field outside of Challengers to attempt to beat the Guinness World Record for most people doing jumping jacks simultaneously at multiple venues for 2 consecutive minutes. More than 20,000 kids around the country participated. Olympic gold medalist Dominique Dawes joined them as well.
So you guys ready to get jumping?
Yeah!
Okay, let's get going. Let's have some fun. Everyone give me a high five. Woo! Woo! Oh, goodness! Oh, goodness!
Mark Morgan, general manager for the WellPoint Foundation, a program sponsor, was on site doing jumping jacks with the kids.
We've seen in some of the studies that again, this type of physical activity without needing gyms and equipment does improve the kids' lives, and it gives them the tools to become healthier adults.
Corey Danzler.
A lot of times we have to provide that opportunity for the kids to participate in health and fitness because, you know, a lot of it in their schools where they go to school, they don't offer physical education or they don't offer these programs that kids need to be active and stay fit.
When the day was done and the boys and girls at Challengers had completed their task, Danzler reflected on just how special the club has been for him.
For me, it's been able to really increase me as a person. Definitely a great love of children from all ages, from all different backgrounds, and to really give kids the opportunity to be employed as well.
And Guinness has confirmed that the group did indeed set the record. In an area known more for its games and high crime rates, the sound of kids having fun is sweet music to anyone's ears. Mark Shore, Annenberg Radio News.
The LAPD is holding a news conference about the Grim Sleeper case. Stephanie Guzman is there right now. Stephanie, tell us, what new information did they release today?
Well, Lonnie Franklin Jr., who is known as the Grim Sleeper, initially police thought that he had killed about 10 South Los Angeles women, the youngest being about 14 years old. But today, police actually are announcing that they found about 8 new women. 6 were missing persons, 1 was an unsolved homicide, and 1 is still an unidentified woman. What's interesting is that 3 of the missing people that they have found are the missing women were brought to their attention by evidence found at Franklin's residence. One of them was a woman named Ayala Marshall. She was missing back in February of 2005, and she was an 18-year-old high school student at Hawthorne High School. Despite the focus on these new 8 victims, these new women, police say there are still about 50 photographs that they have to comb through. So right now they're asking people from around the neighborhoods and the community to identify these women to then see if they have to add them to their list. Back to you guys in the studio.
Thanks, Stephanie. Now we check in with Caroline Vandegrift to see what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision.
Thanks, Sarah. Well, ATVN has a big show coming up tonight. The mayor showed up to support a blood drive for a police officer shot in Selmar yesterday. We have the story on that. Also, Orange County passed a new sex offender ordinance that will make it a misdemeanor for sex offenders to be in county parks. We have more info on that as well. So as always, you can check us out on the web at atvn.org or tune in tonight at 6.
Great. Thanks, Caroline. We'll look forward to that. The 14 Democratic senators from Wisconsin that fled the state returned to work today. They left their Senate posts in an attempt to prevent the passage of a budget that takes away collective bargaining rights for unions. The Democrats' attempt was unsuccessful because Republican senators who stayed in the state rushed the bill through and passed it without them. That's it for this Tuesday. We had help today from Travis Cochran, Julia Dang, and Carl Nikonik. Chris Foy is our producer. Jessica Flores is the executive producer. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Sarah Erickson.